If you are someone who's looking to learn more about fertility awareness method for natural birth control or conception, and you're ready to finally get to the root of hormone imbalances for good, this is the podcast for you. The cool thing is, Fertility Awareness Method is here for you in all seasons of your life. When you're looking to prevent pregnancy, when you're ready to conceive, and when you want to use it postpartum. So if you're in the phase of your life where you are looking for a natural form of birth control without all the hormones, head on over to my free training, nourishedwithnina.com/famtraining for all of the information. All right, let's go ahead and hop right into this new episode.
We all have this very human part of ourselves who we need to be compassionate towards, who has fear and who has control issues and who has fear of not being enough and who has fear that they're not going to get everything that they want.
Hey friends, welcome back to a new episode of the Healing Hormones Podcast. I'm Nina Boyce, your host, certified hormone and fertility coach and Reiki practitioner. Listen, I cannot wait for you guys to hear this episode I recorded with Ambi Kavanaugh because it is going to, number one, feed your soul, and two, give you some really interesting insights into 2021, which is right around the corner as it is almost the new year when this episode comes out, which I strategically planned on purpose. So I have been following Ambi for many years, and every time I read her work or I listen to one of her podcasts or I hear an interview with her, I immediately feel so connected to the work that she does and the work that she's spreading here in the world. And I knew I wanted to have her on the podcast actually for the second time because she's been on the show with my former co-host Liz when we were Finding Your Shine. And now I wanted to bring her on Healing Hormones kind of in another capacity. So in this podcast, we're talking about a variety of things, including motherhood and work-life balance and energy work and spirituality and astrology. And she is the perfect person to have these conversations with because in the last decade, Ambi has studied with spiritual teachers. She's traveled across the world to holy sites, undertaking trainings and obtaining certifications, which has resulted in her becoming a life coach, an astrologer, a Reiki master, and a sound healer. So you all know that I am very much into the whole energy piece of healing our bodies and healing our hormones. And I think astrology is absolutely fascinating. So if you are into how the cosmos are playing into our life, how the planets and the universe and all of these things energetically work together, then Ambi is the person for you. And she even gives us some insight into what we can expect heading into the new year, into 2021 in this episode. So I cannot wait for you to tune in and gather up all of her cozy and insightful information. So let's hop right into this interview with Ambi. Hey, Ambi, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. I feel a little bit like a fangirl. I'm not going to lie because I've been following your work. I don't know how long now, but you were one of like the first people that really got me into, I guess, like energy and trusting myself. And I was listening to like your podcast a while back when you had started it. I know you took a break for a minute and we'll get into that too. But I'm just really excited now to have you on my show and to share your wisdom with all of my listeners.
Oh, well, thank you very much for having me on and congratulations. So excited for you.
Thank you. I know we were chatting a little bit before we started recording, but I'm 20 weeks. I'm halfway as of today, as of the day we're recording this. So it's
so cool.
Yeah, it just feels nice and also has gone so fast for me. I know that's not the case for everybody, but I was like, wow, I cannot believe that we're already halfway done with this.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing how quickly it goes. And it's just good you're at that. I think that's such a nice point to be in 20 weeks.
It feels good.
Yeah, good.
Second trimester feels good. And you said your son, I mean, you had a baby 14 months ago because he just turned 14 months a couple days ago.
It's wild. I was actually just when I was waiting for us to start this, I was just writing a little post about, you know, preparing a little journal post about it all. And it's been such a wild journey. He's 14 months old. He is a toddler now. tantrums and all. But yeah, I can't believe it.
I mean, and I'm sure that you were telling me before we started recording, just like enjoying all the phases, like even the tantrum phases, all of the things, because each phase is so important. And I think it's the same way for pregnancy too.
Yeah, no, I completely, looking back at my pregnancy, I wish I'd been nicer to myself in that first trimester, because, it's as we were talking about before, it can be the most challenging one for many people in so many different ways and on so many different levels. And it's the same with motherhood. You know, now I look back on sort of me with a newborn and I'm just like, God, I wish I was a bit more compassionate to myself at that time and just really just like, you know, allowed myself to be in this sleep deprived haze in my pajamas for 3 months instead of trying to go back to life as normal so quickly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think it's like everything in life, just be in the season you're in and enjoy it for what it is, because it serves a purpose.
Yes, absolutely. How often do we look back and we say, wow, I wish I would have been kinder to myself or kinder to my body? I mean, I feel like so many of us, looking back, we can say that. But in the moment, it can be hard to really sink that in.
Yeah, but I think that's what's a good reminder. You know, for me now, I'm just kind of like really so cognizant of it that I think moving forward, whatever else comes my way in life, I'm just going to be like, okay, I'm just going to be in the phase that I'm in and really just embrace it for what it is, you know?
Mm-hmm. Pregnancy has taught me that. I just wrote a post on Instagram today that it really has taught me to appreciate my body more, because I struggled. The reason I have this podcast is because I struggled with hormone imbalance and it took me 6 months to get pregnant and, you know, a bunch of other different things. And so I was so worried that, oh my gosh, what's going to happen when I get pregnant? Am I going to struggle with this? Is this going to happen? Well, I have these symptoms. Oh my gosh, what if all my anxiety comes back? And it's like so many things. And it really prevented me from, like, I think that was some of the reason I had to work through some fears before, you know, the universe was like, let's bring this little soul into you. But now, like, it's crazy how the whole energy, and we can get into that too, like the energy piece of things is the real deal. But after being pregnant, I was like, wow, about 99% of the things that I worried about have not happened. And so why do we put ourselves through that, you know?
But, you know, it's really funny because, like you, I, you know, had my own sort of issues. I also had a baby older in life and I never could imagine myself pregnant. I could never imagine how my body would cope with it. And in the end, you know, I had the most vibrant pregnancy, the most expansive, felt, you know, thank you, God, like felt so healthy and was doing sound baths for 8.5 months pregnant. All these things that I've worried about just didn't manifest. And I think that's, again, such an important lesson for us, right? Most of the things that we worry about do not end up actually happening.
Absolutely. I've learned that lesson time and time again. And pregnancy has really taught me that. It's like, okay, look at how capable your body is. Look at how capable your mind is. Also, look at it doing its thing and you don't have to control it.
And nope, you don't have to control it.
It just does. Which is a reminder to women all the time. Like, I think pregnancy is a big push for a lot of us. It's like, oh, this is so huge and this is so out of our control that we learn these lessons. I wish that we could learn them without such a big thing happening.
Yes, exactly. But, like, we don't have to all get pregnant to experience this, but it's a real learning curve. And, you know, I think that if you can keep that in mind for the birth as well, I did. And that's the one thing I did, because I just let go and it was ended up being, you know, exactly what it was. And it's like, as long as the baby comes out healthy, it doesn't really matter, you know, how it works out for you. I mean, so it's just something to keep in mind, because I know people get anxious about the birth and stuff, but you don't need to, because it will just be healthy and happy, and that's the most important thing.
Yeah, and again, you can't control it. Because I don't know about you, but I haven't like done a birth plan or anything, but I have certain things I would like to happen. You know, I haven't talked about it on the podcast much yet, but I plan to do a water birth at the local OSU hospital here with the midwives. And I would love for that to be the case. And I kind of have this idea of going in and doing an unmedicated birth. But at the same time, I've heard from so many people that they had that plan, and then when it didn't go that way, or they had to get an epidural, or they had complications, it was so hard for them to process that. And so I'm really working on that too, where I can't control what's going to happen. I can go in with an intention of this, and then just needing to, like you said, just let it go.
Yeah, absolutely. I did not have a birth plan because I wanted to be really open. I knew I was going to have a baby at hospital. I knew I didn't want to have a cesarean, and I didn't end up having a cesarean, but there was a hairy moment. I mean, I had a 27-hour labor. There was a hairy moment where it looked like, you know, the baby's heart rate had gone down, my heart rate had gone down. They were thinking about taking him out, and then both our heart rates stabilized, and so I was able to deliver him, you know, vaginally and in that way. But I did end up having pain medication and a few of those things, and it just, again, it's just like, yeah, you just need to be really kind to yourself. Because I think the reason why I kind of look at my birth as a huge triumph, because probably I didn't have any expectations. And had I have had a cesarean in that moment, then that would have been the right thing to have got him out safely. So who cares at the end of the day? Because all you want is healthy baby and healthy mama.
100%, which is why I've had to talk myself through those options as well. Like, okay, say I go in and I choose to, like, I know a lot of people actually who were going to go in and have an unmedicated birth, and then they chose the epidural and they were so much more present, like in their body. They were like, this was 100% the right choice, because then they were able to be there for it, you know? And so I'm just like, it can go so many ways. So I might follow what you did and not do a birth plan and just sort of have ideas in my head of what I want go with it.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I did. And I recommend it. I mean, it's not for everyone, but you know what? I think as long as you're happy afterwards, that's the most important thing. You're both healthy and happy. That's it.
Yes, absolutely. Well, you know what I just realized? We just started talking, but I haven't had you introduce yourself yet. So I would love for you to do that. You have this wonderful brand, Alchemy with Ambi, and you have a podcast. You have a book that we're going to be talking about, chakras and self-care, and you do so many things. You even mentioned, I think, sound baths already. But can you share what it is that you do and why you do what you do?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's so funny because I feel as though I have all these different titles and I have all these different areas of expertise. Like, I'm a Reiki master and I'm a sound healer and I'm an astrologer and I'm a life coach. And I do all those things. I have multiple different businesses as well, which pertain to the one called the Alchemy Store, and it combines candles, which are my obsession, with sound baths. And I have my podcast. I do so many different things, which sounds quite crazy. And in some ways, I feel like the Instagram bio is so difficult for me because I do all these different things. But ultimately, I like to think of myself as a modern day alchemist. You know, I transformed my life later in life, in my mid-30s, and went from being a litigation lawyer and an honor expert to being a life coach. And then once I went down the sort of life coach route, I also moved to America at the same time. So I moved 5,000 miles away and I trained, you know, in Reiki. I was certified. I started sound healing. I took my astrology education to a different level and started to really practice it. And I just fused
I think that's how I found you.
Yes, it is, because we talked about on your old podcast that you had with Liz, we talked about soul astrology and, you know, the cosmic consciousness and how I use it as a form of life coaching, basically. So, you know, I mean, look, for all the different titles, I really just believe in transformation. And I really believe with working with, you know, the energy body and things like astrology and celestial themes of consciousness. But I also am very practical and grounded in my approach to the work that I do. And so, you know, whether I'm coaching someone one-to-one, whether I'm doing a reading for someone, whether in the past pre-COVID, I was doing a healing session for someone, it was always with, you know, a groundedness and a practicality of how are we going to change something within you energetically, emotionally, physically, in some way, mentally, to create and change in your life, or to help you overcome this challenge, or to help you get to where you want to go. And so I'm really all about self-improvement and using a multitude of tools to help people to help themselves.
I knew I gravitated to you for a reason, because and the way you approach it, I think sometimes when we're talking about energy or astrology and all of these things, it can feel really like untangible for people. They're like, what? Like, what is this? But you're right. You do have a very grounded presence about the work that you do. And I think that's what makes it so relatable and why so many people gravitate towards it.
Yeah. And well, thank you for saying that. But I think, you know, I think it's the former lawyer in me. It's just like, I'm just grounded. I can't help but, you know, at the end of the day, it's all very well to talk about sort of like these fancy ideas or these esoteric ideas of this, that, and the other. But I think we just got to bring it back into how are we going to work with this in your life in a practical way. And so it's a mixture of the woo, you know, because some people say about energy work and they say, well, what is energy work? What is Reiki? But you're a Reiki practitioner. You know, I know Reiki heals. It heals. Right. And we're tapping into something. We know the power of Reiki. We know the power of energy work. But it's just like, how do we use that in a way that makes it more palatable to people and makes it more, not that we're trying to please everyone, but because we're not for everyone, but that makes it create the change that they want in their lives. I think that's
most important thing. Ultimately, that's what self-improvement is, right? Otherwise, you can just be at home reading books or doing sessions or this, that, and the other, but not actually making the changes you want in your life. I think people want to improve that life.
Yes, you have to put it into practice. And that can be the hardest part. It's like, oh, I think I conceptualize these things, but how do I use it in my daily life so that I'm moving forward in a way that I want, as opposed to just sitting with the ideas in your head?
Exactly. Said it well.
Yeah. So the one thing that I picked up on is that you have all these different avenues. Like there's the astrology, there's the Reiki, there's the sound bath. I do tarot and Reiki, and I am just now recently getting into sound baths, not myself doing them, but attending them and listening to them. Oh, and I'm like, there is so much healing in various avenues. Like we don't need to pick just one, but I will say that the one that I like to listen to, but also find myself having a hard time with, is the astrology piece. And I'm curious, like if I'm listening to an episode, a podcast episode, for example, and there's an astrologer on and they're talking and they start talking about the planets and this and that and relationships. And I like find myself glazed over. I'm like, why is that the one that, although I want to hear your message, I don't feel like it, I glaze over. Like, it's like, I can't connect to what they're saying.
Yeah. And you know, I think that that's okay, right? Because at the end of the day, you're obviously not a closed-minded person. You're obviously very open-minded because you're into all these other modalities. But I think for some people, and I have clients who are like this, like, you know, who love me, who worked with me for years, so I kind of life coach, and they're just not into the astrology, but, you know, they just have a block with it, or they're just really just genuinely like, listen, Ambi, I love you. I believe in you. I just, this stuff just doesn't resonate. And I think with that, you know, it's interesting. I don't know how much of my soul astrology channelings you've had, but that again makes it much more practical. I'm very grounded with the astrology that I do, and I make it more like life coaching rather than kind of like, okay, guys, this is what's happening, and this is how we can work with those energies, and you may notice it playing out in your lives, right? I think it depends on who you are listening to and who you're talking about. Like, and I think sometimes, you know, with astrology, again, it can just become this very, almost like something that just doesn't feel real. Like how is that affecting me? Right. You know, you can look at it and say, how is it affecting me? And I do these posts on my Instagram called As Above, So Below, very occasionally, because I'm not just an astrologer. I'm, you know, do all these different things. I don't really like my Instagram to just be one thing, because that doesn't reflect me. But when I write these posts, like, for example, I wrote one earlier this year about the synchronicities between the astrological aspects that are in place this year when we're experiencing COVID, and that were in place when we had the Spanish flu, and were in place when we went through the Great Depression, and were in place when we had the Russian plague. And I was trying to point that out, to say to people, you know, astrology is about synchronicities. And so us astrologers saw something was coming this year. I didn't say that it was going to be a plague or, you know, a pandemic, but we saw that something massive was going to happen that would fundamentally rock the structures of all our societies, regardless of where we were on the spectrum. And so I kind of like to look at that as proof in the pudding, right? And then when you think about it from that perspective, you kind of go, all right, so there's some truth in this. So what do I need to know for my individual life to work with these energies, you know, and to understand it? So, but I think again, you know, what I was looking at is like, and I say this to people who love, you know, the work, some of the work that I do, but they have no interest in the other work, or the soul astrology work that I do, is it's just like what speaks to you and resonates with you is what you should do and follow. And I always say that to people about me and the work that I do, even if they become, you know, members of my community or sign up to courses, all those kind of things. It's like, use what you need when you need it, and don't be afraid to move on from things, or don't be afraid to say, I've tried something, it doesn't resonate, and that's okay. It doesn't mean that, you know, you're blocked in some way or whatever. It just means it's not resonating with you, and that's fine, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I should clarify, I'm fascinated when somebody tells me, like, specifically how this applies to me. It's when I hear people explaining the different, like, it's just not my language. Like, when I hear somebody talking about Reiki or tarot or even sound baths, like, I'll be like, oh my gosh, that might be something that I might want to get into, you know? But like, when it's astrology, I'm like, whoa, that's over my head. Like, it's so, I don't know why. It's just like, my brain doesn't click with that as easily. But on the flip side, I love to learn about how it affects me. And I'm actually curious, like I think it might have been the podcast you were on with Kelsey. You mentioned like how a lot of astrologers were predicting this crazy time happening and they could see it. I like to hear the breakdown, like the conclusion of what's happening or like what we can kind of expect. And I bet you that there are people listening and they're like, well, what can we expect? Like, here we are. Yeah. We just finished an election and COVID is still around. And from my understanding, and at least what's going on in Ohio, it's not really getting any better. And so I wonder if people are like, is 2021 going to get better or are we just tricking ourselves? Like, what? How can we use astrology? Or maybe you can give us some insight.
Look, you know, there's no doubt in my mind that there's going to be a shift, a more positive shift. But I think things are going to get considerably worse before they get better. Mm. I mean, when this pandemic came up, I turned around to my husband and I said, fall 2021 is when we're probably going to be okay to really travel again. Realistically, it's going to be, there will be a new normality. We won't be going back to normality, but there'll be a new normality in place by 2022. And I know people don't want to hear that because everyone is so attached to what was. But we have to understand that, you know, this is happening for humanity on a bigger scale. And there's bigger shifts that are going on. And, you know, this pandemic has simply brought up so much, whether it's economic disparities in terms of how people are living, racial disparities and injustices and divisions. It's brought all the muck to the surface, structural stuff structurally, within our government systems, a two-party system, whether it's within, you know, the fact that ultimately the people that are really important have been highlighted in this pandemic, the essential workers aren't just your nurses and your doctors, who obviously are very important, but it's also the admin staff, the cleaning staff, the people who serve you at the grocery store, the people who are delivering your food to you. You know, there are so many people that we're relying on, your Amazon driver, you know, the guy delivering your packages, your mailman. Like, there's so many people who played such a pivotal, integral role in, you know, functioning, allowing us to function this year, who aren't paid what they should be getting paid and who aren't treated necessarily and able to enjoy their lives in the way that they should be because of these financial economic disparities. And so this year has all been about destruction, and with destruction, there has been a great deal of loss. There's been a great deal of death. There's been a great deal of loss, and there's been a great deal of sadness. And it was unavoidable. You know, we had to go through this so that we could rebuild. And so next year is very much, you know, there's going to be, I mean, COVID has got worse in the last few. It doesn't just necessarily, it's not going to magically go away because we have a new president. I mean, it's, and you know, he's not going to be sworn in until I think the 20th. Anyway, it's not just going to magically go away, regardless of who gets, you know, of having a new president or not. Obviously, I think that if that president views it differently and brings in different sort of ways of tackling it, that would be helpful. And I think regardless that COVID will quieten down. It's like it's peaking now, which again, I said this to my husband, he thinks I'm kind of woo-woo and a witch. But
did you see it happening?
I said to him, I said, these are when the peaks are going to be. This time in April, this time in June, and in November, middle of November, just after the election, it's going to be really scary and it's going to be really high again. And it's just the next wave because of the meeting of these two planets. And he's like, looking like I'm crazy. And now he's like, okay, can you just tell me what's going to happen and when?
See, and your husband is me. I'm like, tell me what's going to happen and when. I trust that the planets are giving us the correct things, but let me know what the deal is.
Yeah, and I think, you know, look, I don't want to make people feel worse, and I don't want to make anyone, you know, I like to leave people feeling inspired and optimistic, but I think it will get worse before it gets better. It is going to go away. I do think that, you know, a vaccine is going to be a safe vaccine that's actually been tested and that is actually, you know, accepted by people being widespread. I do think that is going to be part of, you know, the solution. And it's going to take time for that to really be developed and tested for mass vaccination to take place. But I think regardless of the vaccine, it's just going to start to dissipate somewhat next year because enough people probably would have been infected with it, or, you know, there'll be a sort of herd immunity coming. But I think with the fallout from it economically and structurally and on a societal level is something we're going to be dealing with throughout the course of next year. The energies next year are very much asking us to reconfigure. The energies next year are very much sort of, you know, asking us to to reconfigure basically the ways in which our society works and the way in which we, the structure, the very fundamental structures of society mm-hmm. are being reconfigured. And so with that all said, you know, I think things were going to seem very challenging, because when you're rebuilding something, you inevitably, there's in that building process and laying down the foundations, it's just hard to fit together the pieces of the jigsaw puzzle. And so I don't think next year is going to be a walk in the park. I think the economic repercussions are going to be felt across the year. Mm-hmm. But I think in this time, it's also going to be a time of great innovation. It's going to be a time where a lot of incredible creative and technological solutions are going to be coming up. You know, even this year with the pandemic, I mean, the fact that it got everyone moving online so much and people realized how much you could do remotely. I know it's not the same as seeing people in person and that human connection, but at the end of the day, it just sped up what would have happened in the next 5 years or so anyway, totally. You know, which is all these people working remotely now and not needing to be in an office or a space face to face to be able to complete their jobs and fulfill their professional duties. And that's given people a certain freedom. I know we all want to hug each other in person again, but you know, it's,
and we will, we will eventually. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, with all that said, I think that people should have hope and faith, but my thing for everybody is that lots of people have had miracles this year, yourself included,
yes.
myself included. You know, there's been many blessings that have come to many of us during this crazy year. And I think we should have, you know, huge gratitude, which I know we do for that. But there's also been challenges for everyone. And I think it's sort of to look at the challenges and sort of say, what isn't sustainable for me? What isn't built on a proper foundation? What different way do I need to live my life? You know, and for some people, they've been going through that process this year of sort of going, I don't need to live in the city. Why don't I just move somewhere else? I mean, a lot of people I know have left LA. LA is extremely expensive. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very, very expensive. It's one of the highest tax places, California. And they've left and they've moved somewhere which is more affordable for them because they've realized they don't need to be here. It's like, do you know what I mean? And so I think that all those kind of and that's allowed them to buy their dream home, or it's allowed them to not have to work so hard because it's made things more affordable for them. And I just use that as an example because I've seen so many people leave. But that's the kind of thing that, you know, I think this year is asking of all of us on a sort of micro individual level. It's like, what's not working and what needs rebuilding and reconfiguring and restructuring?
Exactly. And I love the way that you frame that, because it's true. Like we very much needed to have a shakeup in many areas, like all of us and our whole world. Like we needed a huge shakeup. But within those like cracks, there has been light, and we do have to find them. Because like I said, like we were even talking before, sometimes like the big stuff has to happen for us to make a change. And that's exactly what's happening right now. So I've been really trying to view all of this from that lens. And I've heard before from, you know, on different podcasts and things that we like, we're still in it, like buckle up here. We're still going. And so it doesn't have to be like an incredibly scary time. It's just, let's be prepared for it and know that we're still in it for a little while. And that may be okay.
Exactly. And I think there's a great, and I think also there's great freedom and acceptance. You know, I think, you know, when we fight against, and, you know, for me, I and my family live in London. We had plans to see them in May. They were going to come over at Christmas. Neither of those things are going to be happening. It's my baby's first year of his life. Like, thank God they met him last Christmas. Yeah. That's really, really sad. And it's really upsetting. But for me, part of this journey has been, you know, accepting that and knowing that it's not probably safe and it's not practical for us to be able to do the things that we want to do. So finding another way to connect and to just trust that, even though, like, you know, I'm never going to get back the first year of his life and they're never going to get that time back, like they're going to have a great relationship with him moving forwards and we're going to make up for it in other ways. And, you know, it is what it is, right? Mm-hmm. It's just like once you surrender and accept that, you kind of loosen your grip and your shoulders drop and you just feel like, okay, how can I make the best out of this situation? I think that's all that any of us can do this year and into next year. How can I make the best of this situation? What is the universe trying to do to redirect me perhaps into a different direction, you know, that might actually serve me better? I mean, sounds silly, and of course I would have put up with it, but I was suddenly thinking about how it would have been to have flown with an 8-month-old and, you know, with his schedule and jet lag. And I'm like, oh, actually, I kind of got saved with that. Like, of course I would have done it. And of course I would have just put up with it because it would have been so wonderful to see my family. But I don't think that would have been necessarily the easiest thing to do either.
Yeah, well, I want to use another example. My cousin, I'll be honest, I had, I think, 5 friends and a cousin that were pregnant all at the same time, and they had their babies this summer. But I know some really struggled, of course, with everything in the COVID situation and feeling like they lost that time during pregnancy. Mm. They weren't able to have a baby shower. They weren't able to experience and see people in their pregnant body, you know, things that you look forward to. But I have to say, my cousin said something that was amazing. And she's like, you know what? Being in the hospital with just her husband and then, of course, her baby, and then having time where people weren't allowed to come over. It was like she was like, this is actually a time that I can be with my baby and be with my husband and cocoon ourselves without the pressure of having all of these people. And I was like, what a beautiful way of viewing this. Because also, that is another thing too. Like, I'm going to try and practice the first 40 days where I'm going to kind of cocoon myself and see what happens. But what a beautiful way of flipping it, you know, and looking at the light in the darkness.
Absolutely beautiful. And I have to say to you, that's one thing that I couldn't agree with more, because, you know, when you do have that first 40 days and actually even just that fourth trimester, which people don't really talk about, it's a lot as a new mum. And, you know, everyone's excited and wants to see you and wants to see the baby, and that's wonderful. But you're adjusting in this sleep deprived hormonal haze. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so, honestly, I think, like I was saying that to my husband, I was like, God, you know, I'm glad that Asha came pre-pandemic, because we didn't have any of the other fears. And I had such a vibrant pregnancy and was able to be so sociable, which I'm more of an introverted person, but I was so sociable during my pregnancy.
Yeah.
Like afterwards, frankly, I could have done without the pressure, you know, and, mm-hmm. and yes, of course, seeing our family was wonderful. And I don't mean that, but it's just like, it's such a sacred time. And I think that that's what the family life should be. You know, it should be about the mom, the first, it should be about the mom, the dad, and the baby, you know, the parents and the baby. That's it. And their bonding experience. So I think it's beautiful for your cousin. I don't blame her for feeling like that, because no one can get their mitts on the babies now. Even next year, like, I don't think you'll necessarily be wanting 20 people carrying, you know, your little one.
Right. No, exactly. If you have been thinking about enrolling in 3-month private hormone coaching, now is your last chance before I stop taking enrollments at the beginning of the new year. As you all know, I am due on April 2nd, and that means that this baby girl could come anywhere from the end of March into the middle of April. And so that also means I can only enroll new private hormone coaching clients through the first week of January. So if you've been wanting to deep dive into your hormones, do some one-on-one work, this is your last chance to sign up for a 30-minute free hormone deep dive to see if private coaching is a good fit. This is the most intimate way that I can work with my clients and get you the best results possible. So during our 3 months together, we'll meet 2 times a month for 50-minute coaching calls where we'll dive into all aspects of hormone healing, including nutrition specific for your body, lifestyle and healing therapies that are going to work to get you to your goals, as well as hair mineral analysis testing so that we can tailor a supplement protocol specific to what your body needs. And in addition to that, I also will teach you everything you need to know about fertility awareness method, whether that means you are transitioning off of birth control and looking for a natural method to prevent pregnancy, or we're deciding to work together to supercharge your fertility and help you get pregnant. Fertility awareness method is a huge component of that 3-month program. And as a special bonus, I always include a virtual or in-person Reiki session as well. So this is really a full, comprehensive healing plan where we can work together to get you to your hormone and fertility goals. Again, I am only enrolling clients through the first week of January, and then I will not be taking any more private clients until probably June or July of this summer. So this is your chance. I would love to work with you before I go on maternity leave, and we can schedule that free 30-minute hormone deep dive to really make sure that this is a good fit for you. Link to schedule your call is in the show notes, and I would love nothing more than to be able to support you. I'm real big into learning about postpartum care. I mean, it really fits into everything that I do as far as like hormones and women's health. And I've just heard so many good things about really realizing that you don't need to jump back into it. It's like, take your time. And it's better for the mother's health too. There's a lot about mothering the mother. Of course, we're mothering our babies, but also how are we mothering ourselves? And taking the fourth trimester to really do that helps you to heal emotionally, physically, and energetically. I feel like I remember you sharing a story about not taking as much time as you would have wanted. Like, did you jump right into work sooner than you wanted to?
You know, I cringe when I look back at sort of what I've... why the internet's always a good reminder. I cringe when I look back on how I thought that I was doing. You know, I did do the first 40 days, but I was like writing blog posts and stuff because I have a subscription service. And so I was writing blog posts when my baby was 2 weeks old, like waking, like in between feeds at 3 a.m, which is just crazy. Wow. You know, my husband had begged me not to do it. He was just like, it doesn't matter. Like nothing matters. Just take off 3-4 months, just take it up completely, like shut everything down. And you begged me.
So we had a postpartum doula, and you know, she encouraged me to do the same, to just like not try and do the work, you know, and go back to work so quickly. But you know, I will say that is the one. I don't know if I would go as far as to say it was a regret, as I would say that I did not, you know, I've always been a really hard worker. I do have multiple things going on. And I've always just been a little bit of like, I'm a superwoman. I can do this. I can do that. And that was the biggest lesson I had from having my son, which was that actually I was not able to do everything. And actually, when I look back, I was playing sound baths when he was 6 weeks old. And
I still had
tears from the delivery and stitches that, you know, hadn't fully healed. Some of my tears had reopened again. And, you know, it was insane. I mean, if I was ever blessed with another baby, I can tell you now, just even being online, like the fact that I felt like, oh, I was online posting less, but like I still felt like I needed to be online. It doesn't matter. You know, I mean, I don't mean to be rude about any of us, but we're not that important. You know, one's going to miss us if we go away for a few months. Like, I think that there's just a lot that I've learned that, you know, the only thing I would ever encourage somebody is really just like, if you disappear for a few months, it's not going to completely impact, you know, your life or your work or your status.
It's scary, like, you know, though.
It was scary. And I think that that's what, you know, motivated me, is I felt like I still needed to be relevant. And, you know, I just secured a book deal as well. So I was also having to start work on the book. I gave myself, you know, a couple of months to like go slow with it. But I think there was the big feeling of just like, oh, well, if I disappear then, or, you know, if I slow down, then things won't be there for me, or, you know, this won't happen or that won't happen. And what really taught me a big lesson was at the beginning of the year, when my book deadline was getting like tighter and tighter, I decided to come offline. I think it was around the beginning of January, and I came offline until spring equinox. So it was kind of mid the third week of spring. And that time offline taught me, so I was not on Instagram at that time. I had a girl that works on my team who basically dealt with any kind of inbox questions.
Yeah. But
we didn't post, like she checked it and I trusted her to deal with it without me even having to look at it. And that was such an amazing time off, because I got such a shift in perspective that I came back and, you know, people that really wanted to still be connected to me were still there. Yes, some people didn't follow anymore. And all this other stuff sort of happened that, you know, like at the end of the day, it didn't really make a difference to my life, really and truthfully. And it was really good for me to be offline for that while. And I think that I do genuinely feel that, you know, it's like when I see people, and again, I don't mean this in a sort of critical way, but I think that we sometimes live too much connected to our phones
The
internet and to social media. And I think that sometimes we end up living, you know, in a way that doesn't really allow us to enjoy the moments. I mean, the best moments of my life have been when no one's been looking, no one's seen. I haven't shared the thoughts even in my head that were going through in that moment when I've been with me and my baby, you know? And so I do think that that's something that I kind of like cringe at a little bit. I'm like, God, what was I thinking? You know, why did I think I needed to be doing a sound bath after 6 weeks?
Right.
Like I could have just turned around to them and said, I'm not going to be back for a few months.
I know. And it's funny because I even said I want to do the first 40 days. But then as we started talking and I was like, oh, man, though, but can I really be offline for that long or for two or three months? And then I started to feel like, oh, wow, like what if people forget about me and my work? Yep. And like all as you were talking about it, my brain started to flood with those same things. And it is challenging. I mean, on one hand, I feel very lucky that in the work that I do and being in the online space, like I can choose. I have the ability to choose. Whereas some people, like they have to go back in 6 weeks, you know, or they have to go back into the office in 8 weeks. But I also think it comes with its own challenge of, since you have the choice, it's like, ooh, what do I do with it?
Like, yeah. And that's where I think it's like that self-discipline and that self-control. And like I said, you know, for me, being off on the first couple of months of the year, that was one of the best gifts I ever gave myself. And in a way, I was kicking myself like, why didn't I do this? Like, I could have just shared the birth of the baby and then been like, okay, I'll see you guys in a couple of months. And I could have just done that. And instead, you know, but you know, you only, again, I think this idea of being kind to ourselves, you only learn through experience. And, you know, it's something that I plan on blogging about and talking about, because I feel like part of what I do is to teach people and is to share and share, or often through my own experiences. And if I made even one mum sort of go, it's not a big deal if I just take the first few months and just find their flow, you know, in every single way, when it comes to breastfeeding, when it comes to the baby, when it comes to healing emotionally, you know, your hormones are all over the place at that time. And you know what that's like.
Oh, yeah.
It's really... It's a roller coaster, and it's also a really precious, beautiful time. But if I could just encourage one mother to be kinder to herself and to not worry, you know, it's funny, the post that I'm writing at the moment is called Between Worlds. And it's been how ever since my baby came into the world and took his first breaths, I felt between worlds. And I feel like I'm birthing this new me. And she's not yet born. You know, he's like over a year old now, but she's not yet born. And I feel like next year is like that rebirth is coming. And I think my life is going to look quite different. Not that I'm still not going to be doing multiple different things, but I think just this less of a feeling of being needing to be connected or needing to be seen, and understanding that the things that are going to come my way, because many things have come my way in the last year or so, you know, work-wise, professionally, all these different ways, will come my way without me needing to hustle and push and be online every single day. It's just, it's an illusion almost.
That is, it's beautiful. And now I can't wait to read. And please write more about this, because I can't wait to read. I'm one of the future mothers that are going to be like reading all of this and taking it all in. But I recently had a Reiki session done, and she was kind of explaining that she was like, you're going to be using this work in a new way. Like, you're going to be sharing your experiences and the struggles of motherhood in a new way with your audience. And I was like, that feels really good to me.
Because
you do. I can only imagine that I'm going to learn so much. I mean, this is fully a transformation in so many ways. Like, first of all, pregnancy is its one portal that you're going into. And then after you have the baby, you're in this other portal. And I need to be okay with seeing where it takes me, like you said, and just opening up to there's going to be a new version of me.
Absolutely. And you know, it will probably impact your business in a beautiful way that you can't even see yet, and your passion, your purpose. And at the end of the day, I think what's funny about all of this is that when we try to micromanage it, that's when we get in the way of the process. Like, if we allow it to, and that's kind of why I'm starting actually blogging again, and I call it my journal on my website, is because I'm really called to do that for no, I don't know who reads. I just realized people were actually commenting on it because I went into the back end, but I'm doing it because I want to and I need to, not because, oh, I need to post on Instagram.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? It's just like, I think there's a different energy, but I think that if you can allow yourself to be, I can really see that for you, and I can see that myself as well. I think if we allow ourselves, that's just a really beautiful thing that can happen, you know?
Mm-hmm. Not forced, just
not
speak forced.
It just, it will happen naturally. It will happen organically. Like, we don't need to know. I don't need to know exactly what it's going to look like. I just knew that I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. Really important to me. I wanted to be around for my baby. And I knew that I still wanted to do things that I was passionate about and pursue, you know, and have something that was outside of being a wife and a mum, because those are my most important roles. But like, I need to still be ambient. And I love mothering other people. I love helping other people. And I knew that I wanted to have the freedom to do it remotely. And so in a really weird way, I feel as though it's all coming together, but I could not have planned this. And I think that's the blessing. That's the lesson, but also the blessing that I'm trying to share with you and anyone else who's listening, who needs to
know that, because I know it can be really intimidating for us ladies when we're going back to work, even if we're self-employed like you and I, or someone that has a job even. Like, just let go and know what's really like your values and what's of crucial importance to you, and allow the universe to rearrange the other parts.
That's speaking to me on so many levels. Like, my favorite word is surrender. So that keeps coming up. It's like, we just need to surrender. And then this other aspect of none of us ever know the best things that are going to happen to us. We could have never planned. So that goes to show you right there that it's like, surrender and do what you need to do and put out that good energy. But also, like, what's going to happen is going to happen. And it's probably not going to be what you expect, but it's going to be beautiful.
Exactly. I mean, even that happened in my fertility journey as well. I mean, I laugh about that now, because it was that final act of surrender that resulted in the pregnancy as a complete surprise. So, you know, it was literally, we weren't trying. First time not trying, it's like, I got pregnant. It's like, after 18 months and four fertility treatments, about to do IVF. So, you know, there's so much power in surrender, but it's very hard for the ego. And I think when I say ego, I don't mean that in kind of like, oh, you've got such a big ego. I mean that we all have this very human part of ourselves who we need to be compassionate towards, who has fear and who has control issues and who has fear of not being enough and who has fear that they're not going to get everything that they want. You know, all of these kind of fear-based ways of operating, and that's all the ego. And the soul has such faith, and the soul knows in what's happening and what will unfold. And I think we just need to step more into the soul so that we can live a little bit more effortlessly, and also to show our children that as well, you know, because I think that we can preach whatever and write what we want on Instagram or this, that, and the other, but our children are going to pick up on our energy and how we operate and if we speak about, you know, and they're going to mirror our behavior. So we all have, you know, business-wise, I think a lot of people economically, there's been a lot of fear surrounding this year, but I don't want to diminish anything that's happened to people. I know people have lost jobs. I know people have, you know, had a really tough time. And I'm the greatest, you know, deal of respect and sadness for that and empathy for that. But at the same time, it's just like, I wish we collectively could understand this chaos and this evolution is going to allow us to actually have a better financial footing in the future. That's going to be more secure. That's going to be more based on a firmer, realer foundation that really serves everyone. And if we can believe in that, beautiful things can happen.
Yes. And also with these, there has been a lot of new babies entering this world recently. I mean, maybe it's just it's my world right now and the people that I'm surrounded with. But I've seen a lot of babies that came in like during the COVID time. I mean, even your son, you had him in December, but he still is living his first months in this strange time.
Global pandemic.
Yes. And then I know so many people that are pregnant currently. And I'm thinking to myself, these little souls, like, they came into this world during this time for a reason. Like, I truly believe that. And I'm like, I wonder, and like you were even mentioning showing them, like teaching them and showing them a new way of reacting and living. I hope that they come in making some needed changes that this world needs too. I really have a belief about that.
Yeah. Oh, they're going to change our world. And they chose the exact time. Your baby chose, you know, for you to get pregnant and have that blessing this year, and to come in probably when, you know, things are going to be continuing with the pandemic, but hopefully die down a bit. My baby chose that he was going to be 6 months, you know, and in fact, when you look, he was 6 months old when things locked down, but he was 3 months old when the pandemic actually started. He chose that his birth would be pre-pandemic and that he'd be very young and would get to meet his grandma and his uncle, you know, on my side, and then that he would get to spend that little quality time with them before things went crazy. And so their souls know what they're doing, and our souls do too. I just think sometimes being human and being adult makes us get in our own ways far
too think much. We think too much, whereas the little ones, they just live in the moment.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
They're just like, where's my toy? Where's my milk?
I know. Sometimes we need to remember that that's still in us too. Like, we can still live in the moment. We need our brains for sure. We need to think logically, but it gets in the way sometimes.
Yeah, 100%.
So this has been fantastic. And before, I mean, I also had this whole idea of talking to you about chakras and Reiki, and that I could like have a million conversations with you, but I definitely do want to touch on like your book that you said. Did this start to come? When did you get this offer? Was it when you were pregnant? Was it after your son was born?
It was when I was pregnant. And, you know, it's really funny because so many crazy things happened during my pregnancy, which I felt like my baby literally brought them to me in some kind of ways. But you ended up, the pain So Penguin Random House is my publisher, but they used to be Penguin and then Random House. And Random House was the first publisher I spoke to over 18 years ago about a book deal. And nothing happened. And, you know, I had all these different ideas for books. And I actually last year ended up getting Goop sort me out. So I didn't try and find them or connect to them. They found me and asked me to perform at their opening sound bath. And Elizabeth Gilbert, you know, for their opening ceremony sound bath for this Goop wellness event that they did in LA. And Elizabeth Gilbert, one of my favorite writers, was there. She was one of the speakers. And she and I had this beautiful conversation where she sort of said to me, like, you know, I was like, oh God, you know, about my book and this and the other. And she said, you don't have to, she actually swore. She said, you don't have to effing do anything. You know, look at you. You're growing this baby. You're doing all this stuff. Like, you're enough. You're enough. And it really allowed me to kind of drop my shoulders and let go. And about half an hour later, somebody came up to me after one of my sound baths and said they were from Penguin Random House and Goop had told them to come talk to me. And, you know, was I interested in doing a book and like a wellness book? And then, funnily enough, I was 5.5 months pregnant. So I kind of pushed the opportunity away because I went to London to see my family before I hit the third trimester. And then somebody else from Penguin Random House approached me separately.
Oh my gosh.
So I realized like I was meant to be published by them. And, you know, my first book was meant to be the book. It is exactly the book, you know, it was always going to be a wellness book, but it was exactly the perfect book about chakras and self-care because that's everything I've been doing since having the babies to bring myself back into my body.
Yeah.
And, you know, so yeah, I had got the book done when I was pregnant and, you know, wrote the book after having the baby. I do not recommend that.
Oh my goodness, I can't imagine. Yeah. Oh,
I mean, it was like breast pumps on and, you know, getting the milk out. I mean, it was just crazy and stressful, to be completely honest. I don't regret it at all. I know that the universe arranged everything in this way that I was meant to do this. But it's funny because I got the book came out in August, just before he turned a year old. Like, I birthed a baby and a book in a year, and it was just a lot. And a new business. And so it's just like a hell of a lot happened. And before my book came out in the summer, I was having conversations with Penguin about, you know, follow-up books, with an agent and this, that, and the other. And I made the decision actually in fall that I don't want to write another book for a while. And that's a really big thing for me because I'm just, you know, I am very ambitious. I just like working hard. I like doing, and I've just made this really big decision that it might be like, when he goes to school, you know, it might be literally when he goes to kindergarten that I have more time and I want to put more energy into those kind of things. And until then, I have my hands already fairly full with all the things I'm doing. So it allows me to still create, it allows me to still give and to share and to have my own professional life and pursuits and all of those kind of things and abundance and all of that. But I'm just like not going to do that to myself again. So I don't really necessarily recommend writing a book with a newborn.
Yeah. That seems like a hardcore challenge. But I love that whole perspective of when it's right again and maybe when he's in school, like the time will come. I'm curious if you, because I'm sure you read for yourself, right? And you know what's going on in your astrology. Did you foresee like huge shifts happening to you during that time? Like, did you think it was just the baby, or were you like, holy moly?
Okay. It's so funny that you say that because I could see my chart. And so I've been now my husband for 4 years. We've been together, married for 3 years and together for, you know, just over four years. And I had said to him about a year before, I was like, I don't know what's going to happen in 2018, but like, big stuff's going to happen to me, you know, big stuff. And even 2020, I said to him, like, big things are shifting my way, you know, something's going to happen even around now, like something's going to happen. I can see it in my chart, but I didn't know exactly what it was going to be. I just knew it was going to be hugely expansive and miraculous and abundant and all of those things. And that's what I saw. And exactly that happened. I mean, all of those energies are what played out. And I'm so grateful for them and for the fact that I was able to see it coming. And even now I can see the other energies and there's still that very abundant, expansive energy, but it's different. It's calling on me to really look after myself day to day. And so, you know, I've gone from being somebody who's like, yes, I can do this. And I can stay up at night after the baby's gone to bed and work until 10 p.m., 11 p.m. and then be up at like 5. He's an early riser, so he's up at like 5-ish. Mm-hmm. To saying, no, I need to actually be in bed by 8:30 and I can read and I turn my phone off. And that's what I need be able to do all the things that I need to do. So it is wonderful to have this insight into your chart because it can really warn you and give you the heads up. Like, what I can see might be a problem for me in the next few years, because astrologically we all face challenges at different times. Yeah. I'm able to preempt by saying, okay, so if my health and my day-to-day routine is going to be taxing, like if my health is going to be impacted if I have a too hectic day-to-day routine, I can in advance of that say, I'm not going down that route. I'm just going to make my day-to-day life really easy. What do I need to do for my mind, body, and soul every day? I can manage it in advance. And I think that's the beauty of astrology.
Mm, and that's the stuff that I love about astrology. I'm like, this is so being able to see these things and work with the energies. Sometimes I get scared. Like, that's just the negative part of my brain where I'm like, well, I don't want to know anything bad because I don't want to see bad things happening. But then it's like, oh, wait a minute. I can foresee challenges maybe. And then I can work with those challenges or see and be prepared that they're coming. Also all the other things too. So it's just, it's amazing to me. I'm curious because I'm sure that there's people listening now that want to know more about how can they work with you. Like whether it's a soul, do you call it a soul astrology reading? Is that what you call it?
So I do offer soul astrology readings, which are really just me reading, you know, your birth chart to get an imprint of your soul's journey at this specific point in time and to give you a reading to help you understand either your birth chart and, you know, understanding your natal chart or what's going on at the moment and how best you can work with it. Someone comes to me and says, you know, people have come to me and said, I want to get pregnant or I want this to happen or I want that to happen. Like, when's the best time? You know, I can look at the chart and sort of, it's not about predicting, but it's about saying, here's what you're going through right now. And here's how you can work with it, with the energies to achieve what you want. I also do still very limited because I don't have that much time anymore. I only have a little bit of help every week. I'm very grateful to have any help, but like I do have, you know, a limited amount of help, but I do a little bit of one-to-one coaching as well. And then really the main way is through the Soul Astrology membership, which to me is kind of democratizing wellness in a way as well, because it's just a lot more affordable and it's a community, and I give a lot of my energy to that community. And it's like a monthly membership where it's practical astrology, it's practical life coaching through the lens of astrology, but there's a lot of kind of connection and community and online rituals and meditations with the new moon and the full moon and all of that kind of thing. So those are the kind of ways. Plus there's my podcast, which is very much a self-help podcast, and the book is just like, you know, it's a wonderful book for as like a basic guide to the chakra system to anyone that wants to work with their energy body. It has meditations, it has rituals.
And I can't wait to get it in my hands, because I frequently, like when I'm giving a Reiki session, I have one other book sort of on this. And I'm like, this book is going to be just what I need to just brush up and like get exercises and certain things about each chakra.
Yeah, I think it will be really wonderful for your Reiki. I love that. I think it will be wonderful. And I also think, I feel good things for you as well, by the way, with whole mummyhood and the Reiki and all of that. I can feel something coming. It's going to be really beautiful.
Oh, thank you. I was just thinking, I would love to, I don't know if you do couples readings ever or if you even have time for that, but I was like, it'd be really cool to schedule a session with me and Cody, because he's also he's open to it and like, let's do it. Oh. As we head into this new phase, how fun would that be to get a reading
so
with him and me?
Absolutely. That's funny that you say that, because there's a couple who I've done, I think every year for the last 3 years, and they've just booked in again for that annual reading for next year.
Really?
And I do both of them at the same time. Yeah. We make it a bit of a longer session, because just that I can concentrate on both and then the joint sort of reading. But it's absolutely. I'm
okay. When we get off, you're gonna have to tell me how to schedule this, because it'd be super fun for me and my husband to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd be delighted to.
Yay. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. And I will make sure to link to all of the different ways people can work with you and your book and all of these incredible things. But I feel like your energy just helps to ground me, and I love the work that you do, and I'm so grateful for your wisdom and that you came on to share with us today.
Oh, Nina, you're the sweetest. I couldn't be happy for you with your pregnancy and even just your journey of like Nourished with Nina and everything, and also just for what a lovely, beautiful, organic conversation. These are the best kind of conversations that I like to have. So it's honestly an honor for me to be on your podcast. So thank you so much for having me.
So welcome. Thank you so much for tuning into that episode with Ambie. If you love her as much as I do, go ahead and check out her work. She has a podcast, Alchemy with Ambie, and you can choose to work with her in many different capacities over on her website, alchemywithambie.com. We'll link all of that in the show notes for you. And if you've been thinking about scheduling some Reiki sessions with me personally, I do have openings heading into the new year. We can do in person if you're here in Columbus at the new office that I'm going to have, which is super exciting. Details coming soon. Or we can do virtual over FaceTime if you're not local here to Columbus. I will go ahead and link to my private Reiki sessions in the show notes. And if you want to learn more about what Reiki is all about and what a session looks like, just head to my website, nourishedwithnina.com/private-reiki-session, and you can find more information there. All right, everyone, until next week with a new guest, I'll talk to you then.